Right, if you're Bible, Psalm 23, and then I think we will finish up tonight. I hope so, because there would not, if we don't, there won't be much left over for next week. I would have to do portion and go over, so you forgive me if I speed up a little toward the end, but I want to definitely make sure you have some fill-in. So we'll do a little bit of a recap, and we'll go on just with a thought forever following. And that should be our mindset. That should be our thought. I am going to forever follow Christ until I'm with him. And forever following is our theme. So let's look at our text, and I'm not going to take the time to read the chapter again, as I will be reading some of those verses as we go. And so that will help us save some time. If you don't have a handout and you need one, we do have one. Does everyone have a handout? Anybody need a handout? I think we do have some more on the table in the back if you need one. All right. Let's go ahead and read verse 6. And I'll have a short word of prayer, and then we'll go back through some of these verses with a little bit of an intro, and just a longer intro, and then just 2 points. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And until then, we're going to follow him until that day comes. Lord, bless the reading of your word. Bless our time together. And may you be uplifted and glorified. May we be reminded. May we be encouraged. May we be challenged. And whatever that process needs that we need in our life tonight from the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you have your handout there, and I did leave some things out. If you want to write in, I'll try to go slow. I'm just trying to make sure I fit everything in on that front and back side of the page. But here, for the sheep that has learned the important lesson of sticking close to the shepherd, his life is one of constant blessing. And folks, it's the same way with us. The closer we stick with him, the more we know his heart, the better I believe the blessings come on us. So by allowing the shepherd to lead him, the sheep has, first of all, provision made for him there in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Next, we see that he has pastures readied for him in verse number 2. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. And then we see in verse 3, pathways straightened for him. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Aren't you so glad that the Lord does provide a path of righteousness? We just got to make up our mind we're going to follow that. We're going to be on that, and we're going to do all we can to follow him. So we have the provisions that are made, pastures that are ready, pathways that are straightened. And then verse 4, we see the pitfalls that are cleared for him in verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He clears the way for us. Have you ever noticed when we get ahead of God, that usually sometimes we wish, oh boy, I wish I hadn't have done that. Go ahead and take the step back, let him clear the pathway, let him lead you, let him guide you. And then verse number 5, we see the plateaus are secured for him, referring again to the sheep. And it says there, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. See, not only that, as we look at these few things in the first 5 verses, but because of his relationship with the shepherd, there's things that the sheep can enjoy. And we'll highlight some of these back through verses 1-5. First one, companionship from the shepherd. Companionship from the shepherd. Again, the Lord is my shepherd. I get so thrilled as I've been studying Psalm 23. We've been going through Psalm 23 some 8, 12 weeks we've been on it. But I'm reminded as I've been studying this even more so when I hear my granddaughter say, no, my papa, my grams, my mom. You know how kids will do with their parents, my. And they want to climb up on your lap. And so reminds me, the Lord is my shepherd. He's personal. He can provide for each and every single one of us. And then we see the coolness from still waters in verse number 2. I believe those of us who live in the desert understands the coolness there. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. No matter how hot it is, whether it be the temperature outside or our living conditions, what we feel, what we brought upon ourselves, he can still deliver those cool waters as we turn to him. And then verse 4, we see the calmness, verse 3, the calmness from a restored soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Boy, isn't it a wonderful thing to know that those of us, during our life sometime, maybe we've gotten away from the Lord. and coming back, and he just restores us right back from where we were. I mean, it's like we never left. He restoreth our soul if we allow him to do that. And then verse number 4, we saw comfort from the shepherd's staff. In verse number 4, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Boy, I'm so glad he knows when to use the rod and when to use the staff. Because if it was me, I'd probably be breaking out that rod a little more than the staff on occasion. That's just the flesh. It's who we are. But I'm so grateful that he knows and he comforts us with that staff. And then verse number 5, in a cup overflowing with serenity, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. It's been a long time since I've been to a buffet. A long time. But I can't imagine what it's going to be like when we think about that table prepared before me and all they have. I remember the first time in my life that we took our kids to the buffet. After being, I think it might have been coming back from the mission field, coming back for a break, R&R, visiting our churches, taking the kids. And the kids looking like, wow, where do we begin? You know, the girls wanted to start at the dessert. Our son went right to the mashed potatoes and corn. And then they went from there. But folks, I just can't imagine what it's going to be like knowing the buffet, the provisions, the table that the Lord has spread for us. But even now, folks, I don't know about you. I enjoy that quiet time when I know it's me and my Savior. And I can share my heart. I can look at his word. He can love me. He can rebuke me as need. He can encourage me. He prepares that which I need. See, is it any wonder that the psalmist sums up all of the benefits with this simple verse? Here's we'll look at verse 6 with a statement, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now, let's look at two ways. There's more, but let's look at two ways blessings follow the good shepherd's sheep. The good shepherd's sheep. Number one. The blessings flowing to me. I know it's not all about me, and sometimes we feel that way, but we have blessings flowing to us from our Lord, specifically designed for us. In the life of the sheep, every good thing that it enjoys is provided. The sheep need the shepherd. All that they have, remember we said this a long time ago, sheep are not very intelligent. The words I'm not supposed to use on my granddaughters are not very, they're a little dumb, they're stupid, they just don't know what to do, they're afraid of running water, of any noise, and God provided a shepherd for them. Notice a couple things, I don't think I put these in your note, but some of the things that the provision, letter A, the provision for the sheep. These blessings flow into me. Notice the provisions for the sheep. That's provided by the shepherd. Safety. Think about that for a moment. It's provided by the shepherd. Shelter is provided by the shepherd. Sustenance, again, is provided by the shepherd. He makes sure that they're safe, they're protected. That rod and staff is not just used for hurdling them or bringing them in or disciplining them, but also to protect them. He finds the shelter that is needed. He finds the sustenance they need and leads them where they need to go, to the valley, to the mountaintops, or wherever it is, the plateaus, to provide that. And each one of these needs is met by a shepherd that knows and loves his sheep. And dear friends, the Lord knows us. And he does love us. Let's look at a couple of these passages of scripture, at least one now before we go to the next thing. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. But just as every good gift in the life of the sheep comes from the shepherd, we should note that every bad thing that happens to the is a result of the stubbornness or rebellion of the sheep itself. So how much, and we'll get to that a little bit later, when we'll be careful, do we bring upon ourselves? And here the scripture is referring to those things. Letter B, the provision for the saint. The provision for the saint. So not only are we looking at this provision for the sheep and as the Lord, how he compares the sheep, us to sheep, but we also have a provision for the saints. In the lives of Christians, every good thing we enjoy is freely provided for us. There is safety in the salvation of God. We have our secure, our future is secured because of the safety and the salvation. The shepherd provides the safety for the sheep. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. John 10:28-29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So not only there is safety and salvation, but there is shelter in the faithfulness of God. He provides. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There have no temptation taken you, but is such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Again, we're going to face some things, but we know that shelter comes in the air where God is always going to make a way of escape. Our problem is we don't always look for that opportunity to get out of there. We don't look for that way of escape when we should. Lamentations 3:22-23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The provisions for the saint. There is safety in our salvation. There is shelter in the faithfulness of God. And then there is substance in the word of God. Boy, I tell you what, for the life of the Christian, other than taking our salvation for granted, is it not, if we're not careful, it's very easy to take the word of God for granted. It's right there for us, right before us. It's been provided for us. Folks, until you've been in a third world country, until you've been into a land and see someone receive a Bible and embrace it and weep because they've never had their own copy of the Word of God in their life. They've only heard other men stand in a formal church and read from the Scriptures or refer to the Scriptures, but they weren't allowed to have it, nor could they afford to have it. But yet somebody given it to them, something they have wanted, have prayed for, have seen others have, but never owned a copy. I'm telling you, it'll do something for you. Let's not take for granted of what God has provided in this sustenance. 1 Peter 2:1-2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Folks, when I had my tooth extracted a week ago Monday, it was rough having to eat mashed potatoes and other smushy stuff for a few days in soups. I miss meat. And we as believers, if we are not have an opportunity to get into the meat of the word, it'll say something about our testimony, about our walk with the Lord. Somewhere along the way, we need to get past the milk and need to get into the steak and potatoes, the meat and taters, and get involved and dig and get involved in the word. I challenge you to do word studies. Look up those verbs. Look up those adjectives. Get involved in how they may apply and how they may be able to help you today. There is sustenance in the word of God. It will help us to grow in the Lord. In fact, and I've used this illustration 100 times, when we're right this way, it helps so much our relationships out this way. It really does. It changes our heart. It changes our attitude. It helps us to see things in a different light and in a different way as we spend a little more time with the Lord. Hebrews 5:13-14. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So it doesn't matter your physical age. I'm referring to your spiritual age. You may have gotten saved later in life, but there's no reason to say with my adult age, thinking, well, I'm mature, I'm an adult, though you still may be very well a babe in Christ. And getting in the Word, spending time in the Word, being around other believers that can help you to grow. And then as we contemplate all that our shepherd has done for me, we can't help but to look and be brought to one inevitable conclusion as we read this. And that is 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. Boy, how he has exercised and demonstrated what love is and what it's all about and how to love other people. Number two, the blessings flowing not just to me, but flowing through me. Now, if all the blessings came to me and I allowed none to go out, what would we be called? Will we be considered? If we're taking in everything and not giving out anything. And exactly. We become a point, a place where things just pull and don't go out to others. There's so many folks out there that not only need to hear the gospel and know there is a future in Christ, but there's other believers also that may have made professions and never had anyone come alongside of them to allow things to flow through them and to them to help them to grow. In other words, they've stagnant because they've had nothing flowing to them. They have a knowledge about Christ. They knew they need the Lord, but no one ever helped them go beyond that. Again, in our text in verse number 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Letter A, what sheep can do. Of course, we'll get to us in a minute. What sheep can do. See, the sheep that enjoy blessings flowing to them also have the blessings of flowing through them literally. While poorly managed sheep can destroy a field or a plot of ground, those that are managed and have a good shepherd, those who oversee them with care, can be a tremendous benefit to the land. And we're going to pull this in. We're going to talk about the sheep first. We'll get to us as the Lord looks as his sheep. Their manure is the most balanced of any domesticated livestock, and it has many important nutrients to the ground. But left to themselves, they would just destroy it. Additionally, sheep eat a wide variety of weeds. I didn't realize that they have a diet like a billy goat. They eat weeds and thistles that can invade a field, become poisonous, and doing great harm to other livestock, but the sheep can eat it, just like the old goats. And so there is that, it's what sheep can do. They can be used and managed by the shepherd to care for not only the land, and using the land to care for them, they use the sheep to care for the land. But what about us? Letter B. What saints can do. What can we do? How can we benefit from these things and benefit others? For those of us who know Christ, blessings should continually flow through us to the benefit of all those that are around us. And even to those who follow in our steps. It should be not flowing only to us, but through us. We should, and this is not in your notes, I probably don't have anything else in your notes but scripture package, and I'll try to passages. We should be asking ourselves this question: how is my life being used to be a blessing to others? What have I done this week to be a blessing to someone else? Have I looked for an opportunity? Did I ask God to give me an opportunity? Did it happen? See, another thing is, are we leaving peace in the lives of others or turmoil? Daddy always taught me growing up, working on the job site, make sure you leave it in better shape than it was when you got there. What about in our personal walk and our testimony? Are we leaving peace in the lives of others or turmoil? Sometimes it can't be helped. Sometimes there's confrontation. No matter how much you try, what you do, you can't be a blessed. Some people just don't want to be blessed, but we are to try. Are we leaving forgiveness with others, or are we leaving bitterness? Do we enjoy contentment with others, or do we have conflict with them? Again, there's going to be times we can't help it, but are we doing our part and being our best to have contentment and not conflict? Do we experience joy in our relationships with others, or do we know frustration? Are we one of wanting to be a joy giver? Are we a peacemaker? Or do we walk into a room, let it blow up, and exit before the explosion takes place? We as a believer should do our best in setting that example as a sheep and being what saints can do. And we should strive to allow the blessings to flow not only to us, but through us. You see, in a practical sense, the only expression of my appreciation for God's goodness and God's mercy toward me is my expression of goodness and mercy toward others. How is my mercy? How is the grace? How is the goodness toward others being expressed? In other words, if God started treating me how I treated others, how would I like it? How are we responding and dealing with others? You see, the salvation I enjoy from God, I need to be sharing with others. And not just that, but also sharing other benefits. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. We're almost done. And we'll have our financial report. Just for no reason at all, have you ever thought, ever crossed your mind? You never thought about wanting to be a blessing to someone else? Tell a story, and then we'll tell you how it should be. An elderly gentleman was in the line through the fast food restaurant. Ordered his food, and it was taking a little bit longer. And someone from a younger generation behind them was getting frustrated and blowing the horn. Maybe even using some sign language. But they weren't being very patient. And the elderly gentleman was getting a little frustrated. He said, I don't understand. I'm just in the line. So he gets up to the window. He pays for his food. And he says, I would like to pay for the car behind me as well. Oh, it gets better. So he pays for the car behind him. And the person drives up to the next window and realizes that, hey, someone there paid their meal. Now, all of a sudden, they're friendly, they're waving, they're so happy and so kind. The guy drives up to the next window, gets his food and says, I paid for the other one. Can you give that to me as well? Some of y'all catch on in a minute. He paid for their meal and then he took it with him. Yeah, yeah. So he said, the second ticket is also my ticket, so can I go ahead and get that as well? The person the next one to give the food, they didn't know he paid for the meal for someone behind him. He just knows he paid for two orders. So that person went from angry to happy to probably angry again. But now this is just someone who's just being cheeky, but really the right thing would have been to do is to pay for it and drive off. Now, when's the last time we've taken the opportunity to do this? There's been times I'd have liked to pull that trick if I'd have thought of it. But needless to say, as a Christian, I have all the blessings flowing to me. Am I allowing any to flow through me? Brother Daryl?
I did stop and give it back.
Oh. I failed to mention the guy was a 90-year-old man. But, yeah. But, you know, sometimes we get frustrated. But you know, sometimes the best way to feel better about ourselves and someone is frustrating with us is just try to be a blessing to them and just leave and just go on your way and let God work in their hearts. Real quick, we'll be done. John chapter 4. Say not ye therefore 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they are white already in the harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto his life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You see, the faithfulness of God that I have experienced in my life personally, I need to use to be an encouragement to others. 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And then the feeding that I have received from the Word of God by spending time in the Word, I need to use as He gives me the opportunity to feed others. Boy, the kid that'll go to a lunchroom and have a lunch and his friend doesn't have a lunch and will tear their sandwich in half and share it, do we still have that type of childlike love, care for others that are around us? 2 Timothy chapter 4. And then we'll be through. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I'll say that part about that verse. There's a time to be firm. There's a time to be gracious. There's a time to be forgiving. And that comes through knowing that is spending time with the Word and asking the Lord, who prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, to allow me to remember, even among my enemies, even those around me that may not be necessarily for me, maybe they're not fully against me, but they're not for me, He's still there in His presence. And He can allow us to treat others around us who may not be treating us the best. So let's remember to allow those things and not just to flow to us, but through us. And remember, we are forever following Christ. And the more we follow Him, the more we become like Him. Let's pray. Lord, we love You and we thank You for Your goodness. Thank you for the provisions you provided for us, the Word of God. Now, Father, we transition to a financial report tonight. We pray, Lord, that everything we've done in decency and order. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and the clarity that you've given us and the things that you provided for us, the generosity of God's people here at Harvest. And Lord, thank you, Lord, and I pray that we'll always do our best to strive to not only be good stewards in our giving of God's provisions for us, but we'll be good stewards on what you provided, what's been given through the church, and how it's used to minister unto others. And Father, help us always keep you first in all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.